Chapter 8. Unwanted Visitors. I was late to the moving on circle that week, after arguing with Lily. She'd dropped ice cream on my sofa and borrowed my wig for a party without asking. When I put it on, I looked like I had a sheepdog on my head. By the time I got to the church hall, everyone was sitting down. "Tonight, we're talking about signs of moving on," said Mark, holding a cup of tea.
"I joined a dating website," said a man called Fred.
"That's good," said Mark.
"What do you hope to get from it? I remember that you said that you missed having someone to go to the park with."
"Oh no, it's for sex."
Tea flew out of Mark's mouth.
"Well, that's what they're all doing, isn't it?" Fred said.
"It's good to have hope, Fred," said a woman called Natasha.
I heard Sunil talk about how he was listening to music again. Daphne said that she had stopped smelling her husband's shirts.
"And you, Jake?" asked Mark.
Jake looked depressed.
"I go out a bit more."
"Have you spoken to your father about your feelings?" asked Mark.
"No."
I tried not to look at Jake as he spoke, wondering what he knew about me and his dad.
"But I think that he likes someone," he went on. "He was saying that he might try to have a relationship with her."
I felt myself light up and wondered if anyone else could see it.
"But he brought her home for lunch on Sunday, and she was awful. She wore this really short t-shirt, and she kept laughing really loudly."
How had I been so stupid? I felt hot and shaky. I couldn't stay there and listen to any more.
"I've just remembered that I have to be somewhere," I said,
getting my bag and hurrying from my seat.
"Sorry."
Sam was outside. He had just got off the motorbike and was taking off his helmet.
"Hey,"
he said as he saw me. He smiled that easy smile.
"Go to hell, you bastard,"
I shouted, and ran past him to get to my car before I started crying. For 3 nights, I hardly slept. I was so angry with Sam, but I was angrier with myself. He texted me twice, and both messages just said, "Question mark, question mark, question mark." I did not reply. Depression, we had learned in the group, grows when we do nothing. I was tired of coming home to Lily lying on my sofa and tired of trying to be nice about it. So on the Friday, I told her that we would visit Mrs. Traynor the following day.
"But you told me that she didn't reply to your letter," Lily said.
"Maybe she didn't get it." The next morning was bright, and I felt a little better.
"I went to school near here once," Lily said,
as we drove through Oxfordshire.
"It was the only school that I actually liked. I had a friend called Holly."
"What happened?"
"Mum decided that it wasn't the right kind of school, so they moved me. After that, I didn't try to make any more friends."
Fox's cottage was in a pretty little village. The house was small and white, with roses outside the gate.
"Listen, Lily," I said. "Mrs. Traynor is a bit formal. I mean, don't expect her to hug you like Mr. Traynor did."
We sat for a while, and I realised that neither of us wanted to go first.
"Don't say anything about me immediately," Lily said, suddenly. I just want to see what she's like before we tell her.
Then Lily was out of the car and walking quickly towards the gate. When she opened the door to us, Mrs. Traynor was much thinner than I remembered, and she had gone grey. She stared at Lily, and then she saw me, and her eyes widened.
Louisa?
Hello, Mrs. Traynor. I stepped towards her. We were in the area. I don't know if you got my letter. I thought that I'd call and say hello.
And then I went quiet. The last time that I had seen Camilla Traynor was when I helped her clean her dead son's room. I saw her remembering that now.
We were just looking at your garden. You've got David Austin roses, said Lily.
Mrs. Traynor gave her a small smile.
Yes, they are. That's very clever of you. I'm sorry, I don't have many visitors. What did you say that your name was?
This is Lily, I said, and watched as she shook Mrs. Traynor's hand.
We followed her inside and waited as she made tea. A strange 30 minutes followed. Mrs. Traynor seemed only half with us. She kept repeating questions, and I wondered if she was taking pills for depression. I sat between her and Lily and talked about my job, the things that I'd done in France, my parents. But Mrs. Traynor's grief lay over the house like a dark cloud.
How do you two know each other? She asked finally.
I knew Lily's father, I replied. It's probably time to go, Louisa, Lily said suddenly, looking at the clock. You wanted to miss the traffic.
But, oh yes, traffic can be very boring, said Mrs. Traynor, quickly picking up the cups and walking out of the room.
It just feels wrong, Lily whispered unhappily. I can't do this today. It's all... Look at her, Lily. I really think that it might help her if you told her.
Tell me what?
My head turned quickly. Mrs. Traynor was standing by the door.
What do you need to tell me? She repeated.
Lily looked at me, then back towards Mrs. Traynor. She lifted her face a little.
That I'm Will Traynor's daughter.
I felt time go slow. Mrs. Traynor stared, probably wondering if Lily was trying to be funny.
But you can't be.
Lily stepped back.
How could my son have had a daughter that I didn't know about?
Because my mum didn't tell anyone, Lily whispered. It was why I wrote to you, I said. Lily came to find me. She wants to know her family, Mrs. Traynor. We didn't want to cause you more pain.
You don't have to look so shocked, Lily said angrily. I'm just your granddaughter.
Mrs. Traynor put a shaking hand to her head.
Lily, let's go, I said. Mrs. Traynor, I'm going to write down my number. We'll come back when you've had time to think.
I'm not coming back here, shouted Lily. She thinks that I'm lying.
Then she pushed her way out of the little room.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Traynor, I said. I wrote to you, but you never replied.
Mrs. Traynor sighed.
I don't read things if I don't know where they've come from. I've had awful letters after Will.
She looked confused and small and old.
I'm really sorry, I said. Then I picked up my bag and left. After a lot of shouting and angry words on the journey home, I hardly saw Lily for the next few days, and I was happy about that. Sometimes when I came back to the flat, there were bits of food on the floor, or dirty cups. And once, there was even soil on the floor of the hallway, so I knew that she'd been there. And sometimes, there was just a strange feeling in the air, like something had happened while I was away. I began to miss living alone. One evening, I came home from a late shift to hear laughter and music inside the flat. When I entered, Lily was lying on my sofa, smoking. Two young men were sitting against it with empty bottles and pizza boxes round them. Two girls of Lily's age sat opposite them.
"Oh, hi," said Lily. "We missed the late bus. I thought it would be okay if we slept here."
"Actually, it's not okay," I replied slowly.
"Oh, dear,"
she said and began to laugh. I dropped my bag.
"The party's finished," I told the group. "Please leave."
They slowly climbed to their feet and walked past me. I closed the door behind them and turned back to Lily. I was shaking with anger.
"What are you doing? This isn't your flat. You cannot just bring people back when you want to."
Then I suddenly remembered that strange feeling that something had happened here while I was away.
"Oh my God, you've had people back here before, in my home."
I began picking up cans and putting them into a bag.
"So, who were they?" I asked.
She shrugged.
"I don't know. I met them in a club." "You mean that you don't know them?"
I stared at her, my heart suddenly going fast. Then I turned and hurried into my bedroom. I dropped to my knees to look under my bed, where I kept my grandmother's necklace and wedding ring in a small box.
"Did they come into my bedroom?" I shouted. "Where's my necklace?"
Lily appeared in the doorway.
"Necklace," she said.
Then she went quiet. I quickly ran past her, along the hallway and down the stairs. But when I got out onto the street, the teenagers had gone. I walked slowly back up, and when I entered the flat, I was crying. Lily was standing in the hallway.
"I'm really sorry," she said. "I didn't know that they would steal your stuff."
"Go away, Lily," I said.
"They seemed really nice. I..."
"Go home, Lily. You're not welcome here anymore." I got my purse and pulled out £20. "Here, for your taxi. Please leave your keys." There was a short silence before I heard the keys hit the kitchen table and then the front door close. She was gone.